So I just wanted to make a couple of comments to highlight some of the articles in the written executive officer's report. The first was to acknowledge that our region, as of last month, has a new organizational structure. For this fiscal year, we were awarded funding for nine new positions. Eight of those positions are for our expanding cannabis regulatory program, and one position for our irrigated lands program. And with an increase of this magnitude, we determined that we needed to do some restructuring of our organization. So what we did was we split the existing planning, stewardship, and compliance assurance division into two separate divisions. That's the planning and stewardship division, which now contains the planning unit and the adaptive management unit and our flow and riparian specialist. And then the second division is the cannabis and compliance assurance division, which includes now two cannabis regulatory units. Before, we just had one. With the new staff, we have a whole new unit, cannabis regulatory unit number two. And then also in that division is the compliance assurance unit. So in total, it includes two new division chief positions, and that's partly because Josh Curtis, who was the division chief for the Planning, Stewardship, and Compliance Assurance Division, as you know, got a promotion to assistant executive officer, which left a vacancy in the Planning and Adaptive Management Unit. So that position is vacant, and then a new division chief position over the other division. We're actively in the hiring process for all of these new positions. Our goal is to complete the hiring for the three new supervisory positions, the two division chief positions, and the one new senior engineer position for the new cannabis regulatory unit, to complete that in the next by mid-March, and then hopefully have all of the rank-and-file technical positions hired and filled by the end of March. That's the goal. Any questions on the reorganization?
So these vacancies you're saying, Matt, especially under this cannabis unit, I assume, are just filing in and filling as you guys are filling positions, correct?
Correct. So we're prioritizing getting the supervisory positions filled first so that those individuals, once hired, can be making the staffing decisions for the rank-and-file technical staff positions.
A lot of new staff. It's amazing. A lot of new faces here.
There are a lot of new faces. I mean, coupled with these new position funding for new positions, we've had retirements in the last 18 months or so. So we do have quite a lot of new faces in the region. We're getting incredibly talented staff, very passionate staff, and so change is good.
Good.
The second written article was regarding the Smith River monitoring report, and I just wanted to mention it again this morning, that in early January, the peer-reviewed final Smith River Plain surface water and sediment monitoring report was finalized and made available to the public. We've had several meetings with various stakeholders about the findings of the report. Based on input that we're getting from stakeholders, staff are in the process of kind of evaluating what are our next steps with regard to this monitoring study and the implications for the lily bulb operations in the Smith River Plain, which is really the purpose for the monitoring effort, is to evaluate potential water quality impacts associated with those lily bulb operations.
By the way, Matt, I think I note that report is newly minted now. I think as a board, it would be really good to have some discussion about how then actions or future actions are taken. As you describe, you know, things are going to come from this. I think before discussions, commitments, or anything goes really further, my request would be we should huddle here, I think, to have some understandings about where and how the regulatory structure follows a technical document like this. I think it becomes an important step in ag permitting and regulatory application, and possibly the creative use of that report out there for getting at some of those problems.
Great. Would you be interested in an informational item presenting the results of the report as a way to facilitate that board member discussion and input?
Let me ask you, is there a time-sensitive nature, given that our agendas are months forward? Is there a pressing need then in the near future then to have actions coming? What is your look and feel of this report and outcomes and the need to have things moving along? Because I don't want to delay it. If, in essence, we can't get it onto the agenda until October, that might not be useful. Maybe we could do something more informal.
Well, so as you'll recall, that last March of 2017, we gave a comprehensive update on our AgLands program.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, we as staff were recommending prioritization of the development of the vineyard and orchard permit, while we also completed this Smith River monitoring report. That's background to say that our current intention is to prioritize our focus on the development of the vineyard orchard permit. Given the result of this monitoring study, which do show some low-level toxicity, I think that we need to do something.
Yes.
And figuring out what that something is the devil in the details, and we have not made any conclusions. I am definitely getting pressure from the public. Now that this report has been released, I've had numerous phone calls and emails asking us, what are you going to do now? Now this report shows there's some impacts. So given that public pressure, I'm inclined to have an answer to those to the public. But I also want to manage expectations, just because we don't have a dedicated staff person to be able to work on this full time. Doing an information item to present the results of this isn't a huge level of a workload. So we can do that within the next 6 months.
And I think the technical nature is one piece of this, Matt, to understand the findings of the report and the toxicity. I found it interesting in the executive summary of that you know, there's naturally kind of soft water here, so you don't have the hardness value that you get aquatic toxicity from things like copper here that are magnified as a result. There's some intrinsic things to the watershed. I think what I'm more interested in is the regulatory action here, is the agency action, whether it be because there's public or stakeholder or interest out here in the wider world, because this report's been coming for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Let me recognize Mr. John Corbett. Let the record reflect Mr. John Corbett came in. And, John, I'm going to turn your mic on for you and get you going.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to give the history. This has gone on for decades. That's the problem. So whatever approach we have, I think we have to communicate we're serious about resolving this problem, because we have a terrible credibility problem where, in this case, we ask the environmentalists to wait patiently, and then we ask them to wait patiently, and then we ask them to wait patiently, and we're asking it again. So I'm more interested in how we get to a long-term solution that's positive. But I do want to say, I think we have to communicate if we take a soft way or if we take a regulatory way, but whatever else, that we're serious about it, because this has just gone on for too long. And I'm not critical of staff. All the studies have been as elusive as this one, but they all say there's some problem. And we have not yet found the way to address it. But I just think when things go on for this long, I mean decades, that it's time, one, the bulb growers know we're serious, and two, it's time we try and formulate a long-range solution to, so that 5 years from now it's not before this board again.
Mr. Jussi?
Mr. Chair, I just, John, I don't dispute anything you just said, but to give history here, you know, today we're dealing with 13 or 15 growers. Historically, there were hundreds of people growing lily bulbs in Del Norte County, 7-8 acre plots throughout the county, throughout the Smith River Plains. I learned this when I worked up there for 5 years. And then also within the last 5 years, there was a push to have a copper mine put on the North Fork of the Smith River. So before we get too focused on a single track, I think we need to identify background sources of copper. We need to identify if there are some legacy issues that we're dealing with. And we need to identify what practices today are in play to try and minimize sediment movement that might be carrying copper. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on here. And some of it, we don't know what the background level of copper is coming down the Smith River, but yet somebody wanted to put a mine in there. So we know there's copper available. We know that there's been 60, 70 years of bulb production that is far less concentrated than it is today. Everybody used to have a plot, 5 acres, 2 acres. Everybody grew lily bulbs up there. And then over time, the industry got consolidated. So there could be sources of copper today because we're dealing with a heavy metal that our legacy on a piece of ground that hasn't grown copper for years. So again, I want to take this seriously. Obviously we don't want copper in the water, but I want to also be open-minded how we go forward and try and be as inclusive in looking at all these variables as possible.
And I share your view.
Okay. I'm thinking it might be good to have an information item. From there, we could then, would that be acceptable to the board, by the way, that we could do an information item, get this out in the open, and figure it out from there? And that we have an understanding then that that would be the way then to proceed regulatorily.
We'll make that happen.
Thank you.
Okay. Second to last thing I wanted to mention, in the last page of the written executive officer's report is a list of projected future regional board agenda items. This is a list that in the past year and a half or so we've been providing routinely to you board members so that you kind of saw what's on the horizon. And I've decided to have this be a standing item in all of the future written executive officers' reports so that the public can also see and be anticipating the agenda items that are being brought forward. The caveat is simply, and it was stated in bold, that the list of agenda items is intended for general planning purposes and is subject to change. This is kind of what we're currently anticipating. Things always change. We get an incomplete report of waste discharge, as one example, which can cause delays. Public comments can lead to changes that require more time on staff. So just so everybody knows, this is a projected list. It's not set in stone, but it's a good planning tool that we use. I'll also just point out that the May agenda, the list of agenda items in May is quite long, and so Patty Corsi and I will be reaching out to board members because it's very likely that we're going to have to make May a two-day board meeting. So just heads up on that. Finally, yes.
Just looking at calendars. So if it's a two-day, do you want us to hold the Wednesday or the Friday?
Well, we're going to typically we do a Wednesday and a Thursday.
Okay. So
so that would be the request, but we'll query board members offline to find out about availability. Does that work?
It helps.
Okay. All right. The last thing is I wanted to mention this morning I put on chairs this morning, the copy of this report. living in a fire-adapted landscape, priorities for resiliency. This is a document that was produced by the Sonoma County Open Space Agricultural Preservation and Open Space District, who convened what was called the Watershed Collaborative following the fires. It convened many different agencies, organizations, and private citizens to look at fire in this area and how to best plan for living in a fire adaptive landscape. And so it was a very engaged stakeholder process to come up with numerous recommendations for different kind of categories associated with planning for future fire in Sonoma County. Myself and several other regional board staff participated, and much of our input is reflected in this report, and just wanted you to be aware of it.
Thank you, Matt.
And that concludes my report.
Any questions at all from it?
I just wanted to say the change in forest management to include fire is happening. It's very slow. It's very tricky. If there's already too high a fuel load, it's very, very difficult to cure that problem. And there's also, it is upsetting for people to observe fires. And we also have interspersed rural residences now. So there are a lot of challenges, but we're not going to make the journey if we don't start taking steps. So I really want to encourage staff on that. And I know certainly you have a lot of support of the tribes who traditionally did do controlled burning of a somewhat similar nature. So I just want everyone to know there are risks involved. But the big picture is we need to solve this problem or we will have very intense, very negative environmental effect fires.
All right.